Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to the Johto Quorum. We are in flux. We're in between.
We're in the in-between space.
Yes, the space between us. I'm Six Detmar.
I'm Alan Ibrahim, and we're the Johto Quorum. Thank you and good night. Tip your waitress, please.
Last episode, we finished up the Alola Tax. It's been a long road.
We loved that damn yellow Digimon so freaking much that we just couldn't move on until we really dug into their whole mythology.
Sure, that's why. Yeah, we'll go with that.
And not that we're too terrified to finish the Pokedex and not have Quorum to do anymore, or that we wanted to put special episodes in here. No, we took it to the cinema this week, Six. Also, how are you? There's like a mandatory 5 minutes of whatever, like bullshit talk that you're supposed to do at the beginning of podcasts. So
Sometimes I do that. I don't do that on a lot of my podcasts.
I can never go over 5 minutes. After five, I'm like, this doesn't have to be on pod. But are you doing well? Are you surviving despite the hell?
Yeah, I'm getting by. You know, it's bad out there, and you know, that's, I feel like no matter what your political beliefs, you can get away with saying it's bad out there. So let me be specific. I support the protesters and the cops can go to hell. And
wow.
Yeah, you know.
Brave and true. Yes, obviously the Johto Quorum supports Black Lives Matter and also fuck the cops. This is not hard to say. I think Pikachu would say fuck the cops as well. Like, we're just, you know, this is canon.
I think Pikachu would say Pika Pikachu, and Ash would be like, yeah, Pikachu, I also hate the police.
Exactly. And then Pikachu would look on confused, and then Ash would be like, kill this cop. Yeah. That's, again, canon. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Ash Ketchum tonight. He's the only connecting thread between the things that we watched this week. Well, I guess Pikachu's in both, if you think about that. We took it to the cinema, and we watched both the short film, Pikachu and Pichu, which aired before, I believe, Pokemon 2000, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it was before Entei. It was before Molly.
Ooh, it was before Molly.
Before Molly, there was Pichu.
Slow motion trailer voice. Before Molly, there was Pichu. Yeah, we watched that one, and then we also watched a Pokemon the movie The Power of Us. Mm-hmm. So we'll open by talking about what's known in the community as PK07, or the Pikachu Special 7, Pikachu and Pichu, from 2001. Mm-hmm. I recommended this one because there are a lot of Pokemon shorts, and there's a small number of Pikachu specific shorts. And I remember liking this one the second most after Pikachu's Vacation, which we already discussed on a previous episode. What is there to say about this one? Had you seen it previously?
No, Pikachu's Vacation is the only Pikachu short I'd ever seen.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't see the Entei movie in theaters, so I never watched this short before it. But where I did see this short, and I realized it probably halfway through its 17-minute runtime, was the 2003 Nintendo GameCube game Pokemon Channel, which is an under-discussed sort of like virtual pet slash minigame collection.
Is it discussed exactly? I mean, these two statements don't have to be exclusive.
It's so slight. Like, it isn't bad. It's just slight. It's nothing.
Right.
It's a couple of maps that Pikachu runs around in. Mm-hmm. And it has a daily check-in system like Animal Crossing. You do mini games. And the sort of only narrative hook in it was that you slowly unlocked 5 chapters of a short called the Pichu Bros. And when you assembled all of it, you got the full story, which is what we watched today. It's Pikachu and Pichu. Mm. And the main reason I mention that is A, for context, and B, because while I did enjoy this short, it's like you can see the cuts a little bit, because it's kind of like 5 little slices of story, like with like little cliffhangers in each one. Basically, for people who haven't seen it or don't remember it, the plot is that Ash, Misty, and Brock are in a city called Big City, and they have some free time, and they release all their Pokemon, which seems really irresponsible, and they tell them, you guys, look at the big clock tower at 6 o'clock p.m. We want you back here. Otherwise, go do whatever you want. Such a very strange setup. Also worth noting that they kind of like do the Peanuts thing where we never see Ash, Misty, or Brock's faces throughout this whole thing. We only see their legs and their backsides. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, you caught on to that, but
yeah. Yeah.
It's not a show about, it's not a short about humans at all. The only people that are animated are the Pokemon. And so Pikachu goes off on his own and gets separated from the rest of the crew and is found by two Pichus, one who is a sassy piece of shit, who I love and cherish, and another one who is, quote, responsible, and goes on an adventure with them, and they take him to, this is all obviously dialogue-free, it's just Pokemon saying their names. He, like, runs into Meowth and knocks Meowth down. Meowth is amazing in this short. I think he's the highlight of this short, honestly. And then, they take him to this, like, really beautiful, like, homemade playground with, like, wheels and ropes and, ladders and everything, rock climbing walls, and all the Pokemon that were, that live there, come and hang out with him. Pikachu's chased by a Houndoom, and then the Pichu save him from Houndoom by doing an electric attack. Eventually, Houndoom comes back and almost knocks over the whole town, and then they save the day together through the power of friendship. And then Pikachu goes back to Ash at 6 o'clock on the dot and finds out that the real reason he was allowed to go free for the day was so that Ash could prepare a birthday party for Pikachu, or an anniversary party, rather, for the day that they met.
Yeah, they're married.
And the narrator kind of says at the end, like, you know, the one thing that the Pichu and Ash have in common is that they both had a wonderful day today with Pikachu. And they'll never forget the first time they met Pikachu. Aww. It's cute. What did you think about it? It sounded like you were a little bit cold on it, actually.
Yeah, so I have a couple of problems, I guess. I mean, you know, it is mostly doing just the, like, okay, look, the Pokemon are out on their own. You get to see their personalities as they interact without, you know, Pokemon present. It has a lot, you know, you can definitely see that this is the same heritage as Pikachu's Vacation. I feel like a lot of my problem, though, comes down to, I think that thematically this short fails completely. Because if you remember, both of these are about, like, so there's, like, kind of, you know, everybody is just sort of frolicking, and there's a little bit of mayhem, and then things go bad, and everybody has to work together to save things, right? In Pikachu's Vacation, it's with Charizard, who gets his head stuck in a pipe, and here it's the play structure that gets knocked over, right?
Yes, correct.
However, in Pikachu's Vacation, I think it's much stronger on that front, and others. I'll talk about the other areas as well, but Charizard gets, like, kind of, like, gets annoyed by the hijinks of the rest of the crew, but kind of overreacts and is being a real jerk about it. And despite that, they go well out of their way to help him, and it's about, like, how, like, hey, listen, we're all in this together. Houndoom is trying, or Houndour, excuse me, it's not, it's the,
sorry,
pretty,
yeah, it's Houndour,
it's stage one. Houndour is spending this time, like, trying to screw these three up, like, really mess up Pikachu and the Pichus, just going after them hardcore, and doesn't stop because it's like, wait, hey, someone might get hurt. The reason Houndour stops and starts working with everyone is because property's in danger.
Right.
And it's definitely a property, not people. And I think that blows.
Interesting. Because, yeah, you know, the Pikachu's Vacation short is trying to, it's trying to bring people to get, bring Pokemon together as a community, for, to save a person and not to save a space. I mean, this just ends up being the, like, 90s save the rec center plot from the evil guys, except the evil guys again are just an accident that broke something and now the whole hell tire world is going to fall apart. I do think that they both share that theme of, like, collect, like, cooperation and friendship, which I always love to see, especially out of Pokemon, because it's just so endlessly charming to watch everybody use their moves in different creative ways. Like Magby, like, blowing fire on a metal pipe to melt it in place, and you know, the Hoppip, like, cutting vines and stuff. Like, they use all of these Pokemon really well and show that, like, everybody's useful in their own way. And, like, if we're gonna try to, like, go themes heavy, I guess, it's part of why I liked Meowth in this so much was, you know, Pikachu's over here having a free day off to go get up into some mischief and run away from Houndour, and Meowth is starting a full-time job as a window cleaner, which is just a wonderful gag that they do. Like, the Team Rocket gags are, especially in the movies, we've talked about this before, really work best when you don't give them too much time, but you give them enough time to be characterful. Like the classic Viking thing in the Pokemon first movie is great because it's a whole, you know, musical number. And this one, Meowth, like, is told by Jesse and James that he's going to start at the top and clean up. And instead of that being, like, he's going to become Scarface, it's actually that he's cleaning windows. And, like, he cleans all these windows and then gets knocked over. I got a real kick out of him at the end saying, what was the actual line? He's, like, exhausted walking home. It's, like, 5 p.m.
I really need a boost. And then he gets run over.
He gets knocked. Yeah, it's like Looney Tunes gag. It's great. And he says, I need medical coverage.
It's just, I feel like, I mean... In, again, going back to Pikachu's Vacation, right?
Yeah.
Meowth is also a punching bag in that one, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But Meowth is kind of asking for it in that one. Meowth is being a jerk.
Meowth is completely... He's just working in this one. You can relate to Meowth in this.
He's just working. Like, this is something I was thinking about, that I started thinking about with this movie, because this movie ends up... the movie that we're going to watch ends up not focusing too much on Team Rocket at all, in a way that I think actually is good because they would screw it up, is the only reason. Not because I think it's good to not focus on them. It's good because I know they would do it badly. And I was thinking about the fact that, like, how reasonable is it that if Ash Ketchum or Misty or Brock saw, like, Jesse, they saw Jesse at the supermarket and Jesse was buying eggs or whatever, they would be assholes about it.
Yeah.
And that's like, I mean, I'm not saying, like, they are, you know, they are a gang, they are criminals, they do harm, right? But, like, it is impossible to conceive of a situation where they were not treated like garbage by the cast. And I think that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, there need to be more scenarios in which, I'm not going to say that we're sympathetic towards Team Rocket / the Rocket Dawn. But at least where they're treated more like humans rather than, I mean, like, if they were literal punching bags, if they were inflatable punching bags, it would not make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think more what you're getting at is, like, there are great Team Rocket gags that come from the crew being oblivious to their ploy, and it's still not working. Like, that's like, the best type of, like, that's the Viking gag. It's, like, my favorite Team Rocket gag for a reason is because they spend several minutes being like, wow, thank you, random people on a boat. And it's, like, why? It teaches you something about, like, Ash and company, that they can, like, be oblivious but still figure things out at the end of the day and doesn't require them to, like, ruin Team Rocket's lives. But, you know, that comedy is based in, like, old school slapstick and the, like, you know, Roadrunner and Coyote sort of stuff of, like, you're going to watch this guy run into a wall and it's going to be fucking hilarious. Like, once they start empathizing with Tom from Tom and Jerry, the whole show breaks apart because you're going to feel bad forever. Sure, so they have to make deliberate efforts to not make them empathetic, except when Meowth says, I need medical insurance. And you're like, damn it, Meowth, you can't. If I like you, this doesn't work.
Especially when, like, Pokemon the first movie opens with Team Rocket on a hill being like, we're starving to death.
Yeah, we are failures at our jobs and are hanging on to our career by a thread. Let's steal a Pikachu. Oh god, this Dragonite's gonna kill us. Yeah, I think the other, like, main appeal of this is the Pichu brothers. They got a couple of other shorts, as I understand, to be characters. Like, it's implied that it's the same one. The only thing differentiating them is that one of them has, like, a tuft of hair, like, Richie's Pikachu from the anime. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I remember that. Sparky, I think it was his name. Richie is, like, the, you know, rival to Ash. That just is a color swap of Ash. It's great. And yeah, the few little bits of dialogue that are here are like, nice gags. But it's mostly, yeah, just some harmless, like, Pikachu and company run into an accident and, oh no, how are we going to fix it? Well, if we work together, we can do it. Very, very, like, harmless, straightforward thing. It's just, it definitely doesn't reach the level of Pikachu's Vacation, especially in the soundtrack, which I loved. I think the Pikachu and Peachy soundtrack slaps because it's like some fucking jazzy shit, but it's still not, you know, vitamin C.
Yeah, it's up against Vacation by Vitamin C, which is just a banger. It's just a reel. Yeah.
But when they first pan over Big City, they have this like beautiful jazz soundtrack, and I'm like, yes, like if you even took out the Pokemon dialogue and just gave me this short with just jazz music playing in the background, I'd be down to clown. Because these like Pikachu shorts are ultimately just like animation showcase. Like, look at us animating Pokemon, and you know, it's a wholesome story for kids, and we don't have to write any dialogue for it, and you know, that kind of thing.
Wait for a Pokemon to get its own name wrong.
Exactly.
This time it's Voltorb, which calls itself Electrode.
Yep, that's one of the goofs listed in the trivia. The other one, the trivia in this shorts Bulbapedia page, is a little bonkers. Can I read this?
Sure.
I watched this in English, but the Japanese narrator of the short, Sakai Noriko, was arrested in 2009 and convicted of possession and abuse of drugs. So this short is banned in Japan and hasn't seen a rerun or release since then. It's the only theatrical Pikachu short to be excluded from the Pikachu the Movie premium box, which is pretty wacky.
Yeah, that sucks.
I had
sucks.
No idea.
Yeah.
That does suck. But it is also really funny. I have fond memories of the English narrator of this. He's good.
I might find it more funny if I did, you know, the history of Japan and their law enforcement and the way they treat drug charges.
Yes, I agree.
To find the humor, but.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more complications to that story than just like the guy had drugs. Like, yeah, it's probably way more than that. But yeah, it's, you know, it's cute. I feel like I don't need to watch all of it. This is the thing, right? When we were like starting the Quorum and we did the first movie, we're like, oh my god, like the enthusiasm like level after the second one dropped precipitously. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the third one's awesome, and then as soon as you look at the next one and then the one after that, you're like, oh, I don't think I need to watch any more of these Pokemon movies. So naturally what we did was we watched another Pokemon movie, because we're really smart here at the Johto Quorum Studios.
Well, we're
do you want to introduce this?
We're just really here for everyone's story.
It's everyone's story. It's what is it in Japanese again?
Everyone's story.
But what is it in Japanese?
Oh, it's Minna.
Minna no Monogatari.
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty dope. This is Pokemon the Movie, The Power of Us 6.
Yes, it is. It's M21. Why do they name them like this? Like, why does the community do this?
I think it's just the simple version of like, you know, sometimes the movies have different names in different countries.
Okay.
So when you say PK07, you mean the 7th Pikachu short. When you say M21, you mean the 21st released Pokemon film.
Which you know, is currently the second to last one, because M22 is Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution. There is no M23 yet.
Yeah, as of this recording at least, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It sounded like, from what I understood it, The Power of Us is a sort of continuation of the continuity set up in Pokemon the Movie I Choose You, which is the one that I've talked about having seen previously, not on pod, but like I've mentioned on pod that I saw it. It's the one where Pikachu talks.
Sure.
That's like
sure.
The thing people know about it. It's fine. It's kind of cool how it like reincorporates all the legendaries and makes them actually seem like creatures and Pokemon instead of just like Entei has a dad's voice. And like kind of synthesizes what if all the legendaries existed at once, which is more realistic to the games. But other than that, and like Pikachu talking at the end, it's not an amazing movie. So, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about The Power of Us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you want to do the plot summary for this one or a synopsis?
Okay. So, this movie starts out really promising.
yeah, it does.
So we start off with Lisa or Risa, depending on... we'll go with Risa. We'll go with Risa,
yeah.
Who is coming off of her day of school, and she goes to see her brother Rick in the hospital. And Rick's like, hey, you know, I'm recovering well, but, you know, you need to do this for me. There's this festival. There's this wind festival, and you need to go there and catch a Pokemon. And she, you know, as initially as resistant, she agrees. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, in that town, in Fula City, we have Largo, aka Margo. Again, we'll go with Margo, just out of deference to stupid garbage. Is the daughter of the mayor, and she's like, oh man, it's the festival, I'm excited for the festival. Meanwhile, Ash Ketchum shows up and does Ash things.
Hey guys.
There's also Callahan. I didn't know his name was Callahan. Wow. Okay.
What is it in Japanese?
It's Kagachi.
Oh. This is an very interesting name localizations.
Yeah, and then and who is the uncle of Lily, aka Kelly? I'm just gonna keep doing this to me. And
Kelly and Callahan, I kept thinking was a thing. I'm like, is that supposed to be cute? And it's like, no, they just aren't creative.
Anyway, the little girl is perennially sick. And Callahan is like, well, but here, I'll help you enjoy, you know, your time out and at this festival. But in order to do so, he lies a lot because he just wants to impress her. There's a Pokemon catching contest. Callahan sort of cheats to win with the help of a scientist who he sort of like strong arms into helping him.
What's that scientist's name?
Why don't you tell me, bud?
In Japanese, his name, I believe, is Torito?
Yes, that's true.
It's Torin in English.
Rip Torin.
Which I only mentioned because one of my good friends in real life is named Torin. And that's a name I never, ever, ever, ever thought I would hear outside of this one friend. So I heard it, then be like, Torin! I was like, whoa, holy shit. Neither here nor there. He's sort of like the shy but eventually lovable scientist type. He's trying to do his best. He's a little bit of an otacon. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. So anyway, things go bad. Someone steals the thing. So the city is powered by wind, which is directed by Lugia. And there's like this magical torch that tells Lugia where to direct the wind. And someone steals it. And like, oh no, why would they do that? And it turns out it's Margot, because she stole it because she's worried about, she wants the festival to be canceled because, this is so quiet, this plot summary sucks, I'm sorry, when Callahan won the Pokemon contest by kind of cheating, they were like, oh, hey, have you got any, like, what are you going to do next? What's the next Pokemon you're going to catch? You're such a great trainer. And he's like, oh, nobody knows, but there's a really great super rare Pokemon around here. And he was bullshitting, but it's actually true because there's Zeraora.
Oh, shit.
And Margo's like, oh, no, if he said that, then a bunch of trainers are going to come here to try and catch Zeraora. And Zeraora doesn't want to be caught. So I'm going to steal the flame. And that'll make the festival get canceled and everyone will go home and no one will bother Zeraora. And then I'll put the flame back and it'll be okay. Meanwhile,
we could end there. Meanwhile,
Otacon developed a poison gas grenade, I guess.
Yeah. Which was supposed to heal all diseases.
So he accidentally developed a biological weapon and Team Rocket accidentally sets it off and then everybody comes together to fight it back and to save the city and Zeraora realizes that maybe humans aren't that bad.
Yeah, and then that's it.
Yep.
They're all like, great job. And then I'm already forgetting all the names. Callahan is like, I'm going to be a good uncle.
And then Lugia shows up. And doesn't talk because this is the new timeline and legendaries don't talk here.
Don't talk. Yeah.
It's a notably inferior timeline rather than Lugia, you know, just like being a complete chatterbox while flying around. That was great.
What's up, losers? Yeah. I have a lot of criticisms of this film. Main one being it's fucking, the third act is so boring.
It's really it's the boring.
It's the most boring third act. The concept of it being the power of us is that like the whatever six or seven main characters of this film all kind of get equal billing, like decently equal billing, genuinely. Like they don't spend the entire movie on Ash, which is like a cool thing. You can finally see a movie that's like, yeah, the Pokemon world is not just this one invincible boy. It's, you know, children and parents and adults doing their best and misguided youth and all this stuff. And there's hopeful also, youth.
Also, there's no villain in this movie.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there are, like, poachers, but there's no, like, single poacher that's an evil person, and Team Rocket didn't do the bad thing on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things, though, that's, like, frustrating.
Yep.
Is not having a villain means that you never know what you're supposed to be worried about.
Yeah, there's nothing like, for the latter part of the movie has nothing to rally around.
Exactly. Because you're introduced to this whole community of characters, and they almost do some clever stuff where it's like, oh, they all exist and they all matter equally, and they like ran into each other and didn't know each other. But really, it's just a bunch of side characters like running around this really gorgeous wind city. Like this one's super well animated, especially the beginning part of it. I feel like they front loaded the budget, actually.
Yeah, I agree. And it's weird because I legitimately for a minute, I did a double take to make sure I hadn't opened the wrong file. I was like, I have some other anime movie on my hard drive that I'd forgotten about, because the way this opens is with Risa, who is, she's a gyaru, right? She has like vividly dyed hair with like highlights and like elaborate makeup, and she's got her nails done, and she's just like having a normal day at school, and there's not a Pokemon to be seen, and it's like,
did I get a good, like a really cool school anime? Did I get like this? What is this?
Yeah, it really throws you for a loop, and I think it's really good because it has a very, you know, it feels really, really different than Pokemon normally feels. It feels more alive, and I mean, because there's a degree to which once you get to, like, we're walking through the city and there's just, you know, like, oh, you walk by the alleyway and Snorlax rolls over and he says Snorlax. It's just like, okay. It starts to feel very, you know, I don't dislike that stuff, but it does feel very artificial.
It's Pokemon movie by numbers a little bit there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the movie also has, like, little ideas here and there that it has no time or interest in like, addressing. Like, the fact that this beautiful, modern, like, technological wind city still has something as outdated as a capturing contest. Like, it's supposed to be somewhat equivalent to, like, a running of the bulls where they basically let a bunch of wild Pokemon run around the city, and they give all these people like guaranteed capture balls, and you just have to run around really fast and catch Pokemon. And it's like, they're not going to talk about the fact that that's kind of wild, that they just like, we're going to let all the animals out of the zoo and just go off, guys. Good luck. Whoever wants to get them wins.
And there's like a Tyranitar who gets, you know, gets confused, but it's like just smashing things.
Right. And they talk about how it's being suffocated by, like, a metal wire, and, like, Ash is the only one who realizes that, and it's just like, wait, what is this? This movie at an hour and a half feels like it's, like, five different movies. It keeps, like, jumping to different essential things. Like, when I read that this was not actually the Zeraora movie that I expected it to be, but they are still a key part of the plot, I was like, wait, and then also Lugia's in this for, like, 5 minutes? But they are, like, at the core of the world of this movie? Like, what? It kind of, like, lacks a singular identity, I think, is one of the problems. Because, like you were saying, it kind of, like, has a brief stint there as a disaster film. It has, like, an anti-poaching storyline for a little while. And the, like, relationship of the little girl with Zeraora is kind of fun, briefly. And, like, Torin being this sort of Otacon-esque, like, I just wanted to save people and instead I made a deadly weapon. Like, he's just exactly that.
And also, one of the central conflicts that's presented is the whole reason all of this happened, that everything goes bad, is because Margot was like, oh, I have to make everyone leave because if everyone knows that Zeraora is here, they're going to try and capture it. And then, you know, the mayor comes and is like, actually, we have this whole thing, this law saying that Zeraora doesn't exist, because you're 100% right, sweetie. That's what happened in the past, is people came here with torches and, like, tried to capture Zeraora / burn it alive. And at the end of the movie, they're just like, okay, we'll abolish that law. No one has solved anything. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, if they're like, and we'll, as a community, we'll protect Zeraora or something, then, like, okay, they don't do that.
Yeah. They don't seem very interested in, like, or even, like, pushing forward, what's this town gonna do now that people know that Zeraora is up there and that they were like their town was founded on a lie and all this stuff. They don't care.
And they also, I mean, like, I appreciate the idea of, like, living in harmony with Pokemon, but, like, I feel like, you know, and maybe this is getting a little nitpicky, but I feel like they exposed a fundamental problem with the infrastructure of the city, that if the wind ever stops, even for a minute, the entire city immediately shuts down. It seems like maybe we should build some kind of, like, backup plan.
Yeah, or like save some of it so that if that happens, we have something saved. Because they could very much use that to be like, look, wind power works. We can power a whole city with it. Because mm-hmm. I was talking about this off mic with some friends. Like, this movie reminds me of this, like, a pretty common thing in anime films of cities that are so beautifully technologically advanced that they, like, go beyond the need of, non-renewable fuel and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like a beautiful solar city, or like has a solar light bridge and all this stuff, or like this is a wind city. Like, they believe in that, because I feel like a lot of folks in Japan like understand that you can put money into infrastructure and stuff like that instead of the police and like make amazing things like these beautiful futuristic cities. Not taking into account a lot of other things, obviously, historically and culturally, but like, that was where I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, we're dealing with another future city and, like, the power of wind stuff. And then, no, it's like, seven different plots about different things. Mm-hmm. It just feels like they're trying to cram a lot of stuff in here and have no time to talk about any of it.
So here's the thing I'm curious about.
Yeah, what's up?
So the Sudowoodo.
Oh, yeah, what is up with the Sudowoodo?
Did it play at all in English? Because it's entirely around Japanese wordplay.
No, I don't think it played at all in English. What, can you explain it to me?
So Sudowoodo, you may recall, in Japanese is usoki.
Yep.
Uso means lie. And so lie. Like if someone says like uso, they could be calling liar. You a liar, or they could be saying you must be lying, or like you're kidding me.
False.
Yeah. And so it just runs around saying that, and it plays perfectly into the way Callahan is acting
him.
Where it's either like he'll say something and he's like and it comes across where Sudo's like, you've got to be kidding me, or he'll say a lie and Sudo will be saying like, you're lying. But of course he's just saying his name over and over, and it's just because Callahan knows he's lying, he interprets it that way.
Oh my god, that doesn't translate at all. Are you kidding me?
It's actually pretty good. Is yeah. the thing.
No, they just kind of make it seem like Callahan understands that Pokemon speak and is like, or like the looks that it's giving him, and is like, you're looking through me. You see through me. You know I'm lying. You know I'm full of shit. And it's just going, Sudowoodo, Sudo, Sudo. And it's like, that's not the joke at all. You missed it.
It's not, yeah, it's not even, you know, it's not funny. It's not, because the way it plays in Japanese, it's really, like, it's really effective. It's really sad.
Yeah, the way Callahan reacts to it definitely reads as super sad in this, because it's like everyone else doesn't understand that I'm like lying to cover my ass and the fact that I'm very vulnerable. That's so weird. The other translation one that confused me was some of the talk around Risa, which by the way is dumb because it's Lisa, but the English version calls her Risa because localization is hard. She, like you said, is supposed to be a gyaru, like a specific fashion style and lifestyle in with Japanese young women. And at one point when Ash meets her for the first time, he yells at her, where are your eyebrows? And they just laugh and move on. And it's like, yeah, she like is wearing makeup and like, you know, probably plucks her eyebrows to look really thin. You're just missing that. And they don't talk about that because it's just like, I guess it's for the adults or something.
Well, I mean, what happened specifically is that she like they're so she like plucks her eyebrows and then you draw them in is the style.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she gets hit by a sand attack and she rubs her face. And so she rubs them off.
And then, yeah, that's why he's like,
but yeah, no, it is a cultural gag that doesn't translate because you wouldn't know that about a gyaru from English.
That's why those are. Yeah. I think there are plenty of women here that do that. It's just not like you said, it's not
it's not as much of a trope.
Exactly. Also, just the way that they like portray Risa in this film as like none of the Pokemon movies are horny, obviously. Well, except like Brock. Like Brock needs to go to jail forever. But the way he's horny is more like we should go on a date. Like he's never talking about kissing or getting in bed or anything. Obviously, kids
mm-hmm,
movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they get around that is like Risa's clearly like an attractive young girl. And they talk about like, oh, she's a former. The reason for that, the reason that we're focusing so much on like her and like her cute outfit and her shorts and stuff is like she was a track star. She sustained an injury. She's afraid to run now. It's not that she can't run. She just doesn't have the confidence. And it's about her catching her first Pokemon, which is an Eevee. Shoutouts to the number one Pokemon. And then Ash is like, when you have a Pokemon, it can make you do things that you can't normally do. That's called Pokemon power. And, like, makes this whole speech. And then she learns to run again, and so we get to see her running and like doing that. So her story ends up being more about like her own physicality and how Pokemon can supplement you as a person, which, you know, is an idea they don't really tackle in Pokemon that much.
And listen,
I'm listening.
I'm sorry, Alan. I'm not doing this to roast you,
but
we do have to talk about it. Everyone in Pokemon wears tennis shoes.
Yep.
Everyone in Pokemon wears tennis shoes. I don't know why people who wouldn't wear tennis shoes wear tennis shoes. It's just everyone has a very athletic style in Pokemon. And that actually includes her. She actually wears pretty athletic shoes. And yet when it comes time for her to run, she takes off her shoes and her socks. And
weird.
That is a choice. You made a choice.
Like, the camera starts at the bottom and goes up her leg and then up to her running. And it's supposed to be this triumphant, like, I can run again. But it's also, like, kind of like 10 seconds of gratuitous foot shot. Like, yeah.
It's, and, you know, like, listen, I have seen a lot of anime. And I have seen anime, like,
way hornier than this.
Yeah. And even in this way, like, lean into foot stuff way harder. It's not that bad, but it is still just, like, just a choice that makes you kind of go...
Huh.
Oh, okay. Not sure why you did that.
Thanks, Wit Studio, the studio behind Attack on Titan, Cabinary of the Iron Fortress, and Ancient Magus's Bride. Huh.
Huh.
Did you know that they helped work on this movie?
No.
Yeah, I was just looking that up. They also did the OVA for Star Fox Zero, believe it or not.
They were we have a couple of scenes we'd like you to work on. I mean, really, you can pick anything you want if you can just... The feet one!
Oh, give me the feet.
Show me your feet. Okay.
As soon as you hear that, when you see all of the like beautifully drawn windy hair at the beginning of this movie, you kind of like see Attack on Titan, like people, you know, zooming along fighting Titans and stuff, because they draw hair in a certain way.
It kind of reminded the start of this kind of reminded me of Your Name in art style.
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
But, you know,
that, like,
also
very clean, shiny style.
That, yeah, very clean, shiny, but like modern, you know, urban. But, you know, that's...
Yes.
It could just also be a lack of education on my part about anime art styles. I'm sure it's much bigger than that. So.
Yes. It is a really pretty film. I don't think it even overuses CG. That's always my worry with modern Pokemon films is, like, are they just going to do everything in CG? And a lot of the city is, but they kind of stick to, like, the fields and the characters and the stuff that they can just draw in 2D, you know, mostly, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, moves really well. It flows well.
Did you watch the after credit scene?
I listened to the after credits music, but I didn't see a scene.
Mm-hmm. There's a scene.
Hmm.
You know the Pokemon channel that pops up a few times?
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of the GameCube game, they retconned it out by making a new thing in this thing called the Pokemon channel, where some nerd tells people the news.
That nerd is Risa's brother in the hospital wearing a wig. The sunglasses
have a camera
in them. That's why he gave her the sunglasses. This was all an elaborate trick to get her to go get footage for him.
Oh my god, it was literally after credits. I didn't stay for the whole credits. Holy fuck.
Yeah. No, that's at the end she's like, because there's a point where he calls her up and he's like, "Listen, I can get you directions so you can avoid the smoke." And she's like, "How do you know where I am?" And he's like, "Don't worry about it." And you think that's the movie just being like, "Hey, we know, but let go. It's a kid's movie." It is not, because they actually do at the end of it call back, and she's like, "No, seriously, you have to explain yourself right now." And she walks in on him like doing the broadcast with a wig on, and he's like, "Hi, I didn't think you'd be back so fast."
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah,
because he gave her the sunglasses at the beginning, and I thought that was just this cute moment of like, oh, it's all he could afford. It's like a nice gift that's like useful, and she, you know, it's not too gaudy or whatever.
No, he's just a complete scumbag.
Wow. That's cute. I'll give that.
Scumbags are my type. Yeah.
I thought you'd be more of a fan of Torin, actually.
No, I don't like Torin.
Yeah, I mean the whole like his whole plot line is goofy, where like they have to really convey to the kids out there that he doesn't know how to talk to people. So his first speech scene is he's like, hi, people, I don't have science. It's like, dude, you're very smart. Like, I know a lot of very, very, very smart people who can't speak in public, but, like, this seems absurd.
So there's the poison that he makes, right?
Yep, yep. the cure-all, whatever the fuck they call it. They call it like a different thing every time.
Yeah, well, I think they call it a specific thing. It's based on a Pokemon's ability. I forget which one, but they specifically say the Pokemon's ability in the Japanese.
Okay.
Effect spore.
Yes, that's what they say in English.
And so it is basically like an aerosol version of effect spore that affects, you know, a whole area. And so he's talking, they're like, why would you even make something like this? And he's like, well, I was working on it because actually studies are showing that it could have a really, like, you'd think it would hurt people, and like it does to a certain extent, but it could have like a really great effect on illnesses. And I know I'm overthinking it, but that suggests that illnesses have more in common with Pokemon than humans have in common with Pokemon. That illnesses might be Pokemon.
Yeah, they're pathogens. Because what they also say is like when the gas is released, it knocks people, or it like makes people fall, pass out. It's just unconsciousness.
It's in Japanese they say it afflicts like paralysis and poison, but I guess for humans it's just the paralysis.
Paralysis. Okay. Again, that translates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before recording. It is worth mentioning that there's an extended scene of a city being gassed, and if that makes you uncomfortable because of whatever your context is, whether it's the world we're in right now with police brutality or whatever, just a heads up, that is like a, you know, 5 to 10 minute like kind of tense scene of the film.
Mm-hmm. And this movie is not so good that if that makes you uncomfortable, it's worth watching.
No, yeah. You also, by that point, you're in the third act. You could just stop.
Yep.
Nothing interesting. Like, I can't believe. I love the, like, escalation of anime films where, like, the beginning is, like, everything's wholesome and good, but actually there's a problem, and we gotta solve the problem, and then everything explodes at the end, and we solve the problem. That's, like, every anime movie based on a show. The explosion doesn't really happen. The big fight doesn't really happen. Zeraora is cool.
The ghost of that lady's snubble gives her the strength to move on.
That part's great. Yeah, she's the other, like, tentpole main, quote-unquote main character. Harriet, I believe, is her name in English. What's her name in Japanese?
I think they just call her Basan all the time. I don't even know what her name is.
Oh, I dig that. Yeah, they say her name once is Harriet. And her, like, running plot during the film is just that she hates Pokemon, which in this world is tantamount to, I don't know, murder. Everyone's like, why do you hate them? And there's like these six Pokemon, just random ones, that are like her reply guys, just standing outside of her window and like sitting on her kitchen table. She's like, I didn't invite you in, get the fuck out of here.
Well, it's because we have Torin, who's making like potion versions of you know, like
pheromone.
Of Pokemon abilities, and she knocked over a vial of sweet scent.
Yeah,
so she's got sweet scent on her.
She's attracting all these random Pokemon, even though she hates them. And the reason she hates them is because she lost her Snubbull in a
She just doesn't fire. Want them to be hurt as well.
Yeah.
Don't be near me, you're gonna get hurt.
It's a little sad. I feel like they could cut out like one or two main people from that cast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really fills out a movie poster well, but it just makes the movie feel so crowded. Like, you don't need eight main characters. If you don't include Team Rocket, let's do a little count. You got Ash,
mm-hmm.
Risa, Margo, mm-hmm. Callahan, Torin, Harriet, and I guess Kelly, which is the little girl. That's seven.
Yeah.
Well, which is a lot.
Kind of Zeraora.
And yeah, Zeraora has their own little plot. I liked watching them like do the big punchy and like blow up stuff, and the noise that it makes when Zeraora does like lightning attacks is unique and kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just prefer it when the legendary backstory is like in the ancient prophecy, blah 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 blah. But in this one, it's like, you know, he's just here. No one found him.
And I still think my favorite like representation of a legendary in one of these movies is Victini, in the Victini movie.
Oh, it's been a while.
Where Victini is just like invisibly following people around and like based on a whim, powering them
up.
It's just very good.
Yes. It's a nice way for it to just passively exist without, like, breaking any logic.
Also stealing macaroons.
Which, yeah, who doesn't want to steal macaroons sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
I forget what I was going to say about Zero Aura, but I kind of like didn't get a lot out of it other than it being rare. Oh yeah, it was the fact that they make a big deal about like Risa's like, I want to catch this Pokemon, and she conveniently points her Pokedex away from the screen and we never know what it is. And I was like, is it going to be Zero Aura? Is that what the movie is telling us? Is she is like a superstar, so she gets to catch the superstar Pokemon? And technically, yes, she does, but it's not Zero Aura, it's Eevee.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that a reveal? I don't know. Just cause
I mean, because it's a goof. It's just a goof about how Callahan doesn't know shit from shit.
Right. He's like, it's a super rare Pokemon. It's all the way up there. And she gets caught on the mountain. Like, her makeup's fading. And the police are like, you can't be here. There's a curse. She's like, I just want a Pokemon. I need this one. And then they see it, and they're like, yeah, that's Eevee. You can get one for like 50 cents at the dollar store. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm glad that she got an Eevee. She deserves it. And then, like, that cool scene where she's like, I need to learn how to fight with a Pokemon. And she just basically mirrors Ash talking to Pikachu. He's like, just point your hand and say, use Thunderbolt. And she's like, okay, use Thunderbolt. And it's like,
wow, I won the Pokemon League.
I did it. I'm so good. This Pikachu is mine now. And Ash is like, wait, what? She runs away with it.
She's like, wait, is the secret that it actually doesn't take any skill to be a Pokemon trainer? And Ash is like,
And he takes Pikachu and runs away and like gets zapped forward. Yeah, that part was charming. I think she's really fun. Honestly, it does feel like a bit of a fandom. Like, look how cool this character looks. Do you want to do fan art? Do you want to like make an OC, like fall in love with her? Do you like her? Like, she's just so, she looks like she's out of a different movie.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
I guess part of it that I do like is I'm just so used to, like, from this and just other anime, I'm so used to it being like, oh, new movie, new arc, whatever. Girl shows up and gets a crush on the protagonist. Risa is never at any point even slightly into Ash. And I'm like, thank God.
She barely meets him. She barely talks to him.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, because we got like, well, we like the movie 2000 had like, you know, the dance lady who's like, man, Ash, I'm going to manipulate you, but also you are pretty cute. And it's just like, I hate this.
I do love you. Yeah.
We are going to get married.
Okay, all right, fine. It's a lot. It's very excessive.
So.
Did you like Ash's outfit in this?
It's fine. It's his new school outfit. It's fine.
Oh, is this what he uses in like Sun and Moon?
This is, yeah, I think ever since Choose You, this is his look.
I see. Okay.
In Sun and Moon, I think he does have a bit of a tropical look, but this general, like the green sea hat with like the blue, yellow vest and stuff. Yeah, that's just the sort of the new look he's got.
But like, this film isn't a colossal failure. Like, it advertises itself like, what if these seven characters got together and saved the world and used their various skills? And that does happen. But it's just so plotting. There were so many scenes where I was like, please stop giving me the backstory for what happened 30 minutes ago and just do something now in the present. Like, flashbacks galore and, like, these unnecessary fight scenes. Like, just, ugh. I feel like this is the common thing with actually most Pokemon films, which, again, is why we don't want to cover all of them. It's because there's more than a couple of them that are this sort of, like, long plotting affair. But it's cool to see what modern Pokemon company is doing with their movies. Like, besides Mewtwo Strikes Back, CG Revenge World. This new canon has a lot of potential. It's not as good, but I think that it's interesting to have the, like, Legendaries Don't Talk canon. I don't know.
I just want a Legendary to call me Molly.
I can call you Molly, and you sometimes have said that I'm legendary.
It's not the same.
Okay, fine. That's understandable. I have more notes in my thing here on Pikachu and Pichu than I do about the power of us. That's hilarious.
It's because it was a
tiring also
movie.
Come on, guys. You're literally Pokemon 2000 in America was called the Power of One. And now it's the Power of Us. Did you get it?
Also, the whole point of Pokemon the movie 2000 was that it was actually the Power of Us.
That one should have been called The Power of Us. This one should have been called Zero Aura and the blank, blank, blank.
I mean, you could have just called it Everyone's Story, but I guess that doesn't play in English.
Exactly. Yeah, that doesn't play as well. Oh, well, it's goofy. It's a silly film. It's on Netflix if you just want to watch it. Just like throw it on, mute it, and just enjoy the end. It's like a very pretty Pokemon story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what the next one is now that, like, I really kind of hope they don't do more of the CG stuff that they did for the Mewtwo movie. Because that works a couple times. That doesn't work as your new normal for the movies.
Looking now, and there is a Pokemon movie that is in the can.
Really?
It has been delayed because of COVID, but there is a M23 called Coco, which is about a boy being raised by Pokemon, specifically Zarude.
I've seen this. I've seen a trailer for this. There was a trailer for this. And he's got like the red hair with the white thing around his mouth or whatever. And there's like a shiny Celebi in the trailer. Yeah. Okay. Yep. And that's 2D. Sure. Rock on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to stay 2D, at least for the near future, I think.
Okay. Well, they're making one. Maybe that one will be fun. I think a like wild boy plot could go really badly or really well, depending on how they do it.
Yep. No, it definitely could. It definitely could backfire.
We'll probably check it out. The thing with eventually kind of running out of Pokemon to discuss is we're going to hit a point where a new movie comes out and we might as well just cover all of them going forward because we won't have anything else to cover. But that is not the time now because we still have a whole Pokedex to cover.
Yeah, Alan, we'll just watch The Genius. It'll be fine.
Oh, great. Okay, good. Thank you. Phew. Finally, good television.
Yeah. But until then, folks, Alan,
yes?
If people wanted to find you on the internet, where do you think they should look? What would you recommend?
If they were trying to find me and it wasn't on the Johto Quorum, there's a couple places you can do that. I'm on Chats of Television podcast. That's a podcast I host with my friend Magellan where we watch cult classic TV shows every week. We are currently starting our season of the 1995 Pride and Prejudice miniseries. It's the summer of miniseries. So if you like that series and you like Jane Austen, you get to hear us gush over it. It'll be a very short season and we'll do another miniseries after that. Again, that's found wherever you listen to podcasts. And we have a Patreon at patreon.com/chatspod.
James that's my main Austin. Things.
What's that?
Nothing.
Okay. You know what I do when you put the episode out is I mess with the volume so that I can hear what you said every time. You can't hide from me.
I mean, you were talking, so you're not going to be able to do that.
No, it'll be file figured out. I'll do some audio. I'll do some my own kind of audio magic.
Okay.
What else do I have? No, social media is hell right now. More so than usual. So I'm not on there.
Yep.
What about you?
ScanlineMedia.com, patreon.com/ScanlineMedia. We'll keep it at that for now.
And that's what we got, folks. Mm-hmm. We watched the films.
But until next time, folks, there's something you need to keep in mind, especially if you're thinking about that scene where she takes off her shoes. You need to
more
be
so
reminded
than
of something.
Ever. Yes. Number one, go to church. Number two, you must remember that this, dear listener, is a game for kids. So let's be adults.
Peace.
Peace.